Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I hope that you're all well and beginning to experience 2012 as all the forces take us on our path to our greatness and fulfillment. This is going to be a real incredible and amazing year of manifestation. I have a really great treat in store for all you listeners on my show today. My guest, his name is David Dom. He is joining me in my 8-week series on men understanding their true purpose and power, leaving a legacy. Let me tell you a little bit about David, some of his backstory. David has been an entrepreneur since 1988. He started his career life in sales and marketing and networking by using the internet and then hence social media. As the transformations continued, he became a leverage coach and has now recently joined us in the media world with his own radio show that focuses on empowering local business owners, entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and artists to help strengthen community and keep the local money local. David, on the personal side, is a native Californian. I won't divulge his age and leave it to say that he says he's in his early 40s, which he totally is, and now newly single. He has one teenage daughter who he is actively and daily parenting. He is one of a sibling from a family of three. He has an older sister, 5 years his senior, and a brother. When David was only 7 years old, his parents divorced. In high school, he dated a lot, as he has been quoted, from cheerleaders to, I'm going to add in David, prom queens, and he had set very high standards for his social life. He now looks back on his teenage and high school years as the most predominant in his formation of his personality and character with regard to his relationships with women. He refers to himself at that time as an A-class commitment phobic, which actually we had a conversation yesterday, and I love that, because any man that can literally get up there and so calmly say, I was a commitment phobic, whether he is or still is, and own it, is really a huge piece of the puzzle of why and how I originally came up to pulling this series together. So I thank him for his honesty and his candidness. He was also at that time, in his adolescent years, adamant to never having children of his own, never mind ever even marrying. But yet, of course, interestingly enough, he says at age 18, everything changed, and he's still not exactly sure why, other than the fact that he fell in love, once again quoted, that he, strangely enough, he did marry and then subsequently became a father. David recently divorced and is now navigating himself through the dating world with both an open heart and mind. I chose to bring David onto the show today, actually. I wanted all you listeners to know, not to only enlighten and share, for him to be able to share with all my male and female listeners, but mainly for him to, as I just mentioned, openly and candidly discuss his transitions, his inner conflicts, and his journey of acceptance into working through and changing his past patterns that, once again, as he said, didn't seem to be working anymore now in his new stage and phase of life. He is going to discuss his journey of transformation and his shift to a more positive attitude, and to mostly encourage others to see the riches in changing, obviously, what hasn't worked in the past. David is not only spiritual, he is creative, a musician, was part of a rock band when he was very young, and he really is just a really nice all-around kind of a guy. I would like to take this opportunity and not only thank him, but to welcome him to my show with open arms as we open the discussion to the true design of the male's relationship with females. Any listeners, please do feel free to call in. We are going to leave the discussion to the whole show open to anyone and everyone at any time. We would welcome your participation and interaction. So without any further ado, I'd like to bring David on. David, hi.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how you doing?
Fantastic.
Great. Okay, I'd like to just start and talk a little bit about the male, like the role of the male and the male in crisis and traditional roles. So, you know, pretty much when you and I have had conversations and, you know, we've talked Obviously, as women, of course, you keep evolving your whole life. And traditionally, I know that you had set out on your journey not thinking about being a husband or a father or whatever. And I'm sure in many ways this affected not only your personal life and your professional life, but I'm sure there were a lot of conflicts and inner conflicts along the way. When we spoke yesterday, I think we both agreed that it would be probably most beneficial for the listeners if we focused on, let's say we leave the backstory in the past behind and we really come up pretty close to almost like present in your newly single life. So what I would like to start with is I know that you've been in such transition the past few years. If you could try to pinpoint and discuss your three biggest challenges, if we could limit it to three, and if you have less, that's fine, in your relationship, restructuring, rebuilding, whatever, with respect to the relationships with women. So it would be like kind of a divorce, post and past divorce up until now.
Okay. Actually, yes, I can think immediately of, the biggest challenge. Well, there's at least three. They're all big, probably. Okay. So the biggest is identity, as far as the divorce is concerned, and I'll just go to that. I myself have, I'm sure many men found themselves completely and totally in a, not necessarily a pattern, but it was a role, as you said, and that role was the role of husband, father, provider. And myself, I engrossed myself in that. I stayed focused on that. And due to that, I kind of let my own self get kind of whittled away or fall away, if you will. And then, whenever things, literally came to an end, then I found myself realizing that I had been spending all the time with the family and even, for example, her side of the family. And then this happens and it's like, okay, wow, now what? What do I do? More importantly, who am I? So it's a huge identity thing.
Right. For sure.
Because at that point, it's like, what do you do? Right.
So. And that must, that is a whole huge, of course, 1 hour show all in itself.
The one of the other things is literally coming to grips with the fact that even though everybody plays a part in when things, kind of fall apart, but the idea is that you can't, trying to determine, okay, how much do I think about that? Well, how much energy do I give trying to find out what part I played in it? More importantly, whose fault is this, that, whatever, doesn't really matter. Right. The fact of the matter is that we as individuals, sometimes because, especially when you spend a very long time with another person, like more than half your life or in a long-term relationship, for example, it's hard sometimes to realize that because you're one with another person and you share literally everything, it's hard to have that individuality. So when you are recreating that, sometimes people look to other relationships, quickly. Because
good
they
point.
Don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really. So that's a challenge. And because you're used to having that interaction, that closeness or kind of that shoulder, if you will, to cry on or lean on. Well,
sure.
The problem with that is that of course you get into it too fast without dealing with the issues that may have brought you to the point you're at, and you still have the same issues. You just have them with a different person.
Right.
So that was a challenge to kind of realize that. And then the other part was literally realizing, or the other biggest challenge, I guess, realizing I have tons of work to do on myself.
Right.
I have to figure out what I'm about, And I guess all those things are kind of the same, but they're different,
Mm-hmm.
What is my purpose in this life that I'm living now? And more importantly, how do I go about, how do I go about venturing out and determining what's best to do, but finding out really what's in my heart? What do I want to share with people? What do I want to hold back right now? What do I need to work on in order to become a whole person so that I can then share, appropriately with somebody else?
Well, your answer was incredible because I agree with you. I think all three of those things do intertwine, but they are so totally different. So if this is okay and all right, I'm going to pick up on your third one, the number three, because
sure.
All of a sudden, like you had said the other day when we spoke, venturing out once again, relationships with women pre-divorce during your married years, right, would be primarily women within your family, you know, those pillar people, your mother, your ex-wife, your ex-wife's mother, your daughter, you know, all on different levels, right? Multi-level relationships,
right.
Love in all kinds of different forms, but of course,
right.
Love. And here, then, all of a sudden, you find yourself, which so many men do, deciding that it's, you know, time to separate, realizing that you need to move forward in your life and reevaluating, putting yourself out there, as we had said the other day. Could you focus for a few minutes as candidly and as personally as you are willing to in what that felt like, what the kind of feelings and emotions and whatever breaks, whatever you might have put on, whatever you want to put into the conversation of putting yourself back out there and realizing that in order to even interact socially, there might be more than a handful of women in your life. One as a friend, you know, one casual dating, one as a lover, and kind of like, where did you see yourself navigating through those waters? How did you do that? I know you've been at that for a while, and I'm sure you're successful at it because you're such a social kind of a guy.
Well, okay. First of all, it was. I did what most people do. I admit, and I probably jumped into a relationship a little bit too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, but I was able to then realize it and back out of it before it was, you know, too much of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
There were too many casualties and too much stuff intertwined because, again, here I am with my issues kind of broken in certain components of my life that I need to fix. And then here's this other person that, quite frankly, is probably about in the same place. And you put two people together that aren't there for themselves yet, and they're literally not a whole person yet because of all these issues that they need to deal with, and you got just a mess. And so I was able to, you know, again, kind of realize I have to slow that down. It can't go too fast, and there needs to be some limitations. At least that's my opinion, because some experts say you need, you know, these huge amounts of time, literally years, depending on how long you're with somebody, to kind of get a grip. So it's been interesting. And then after that, with a complete and total break of it all, then getting out there, awkward.
Right.
Would be the word I would describe. At first, extremely awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But then knowing, you know, that the feeling of needing to be open,
right,
and just doing what I need to do, work on myself, but yet still be open and able to speak with other people. And, you know, it's just after so many years, it's just strange. I was like, what is that? You know, what do you do? How does that work?
Well, you did,
you know,
it in high school. And from what we discussed, and I'm sure it's the truth, you did it pretty well. So you're the same person X amount of years later with so much in your suitcase, right? So much luggage in the backstory. Yeah.
Right. So it's,
yeah.
Yeah. Things have definitely changed. So, but you know, it's been really nice. And, you know, the fact that there are wonderful people in the world that, you know, I think once you get to a certain place, and I know you would agree with this, but once you get to a certain place within yourself, you're able to then attract like-minded people, and with whether it be, you know, their spirit or their soul or just their connection. And so there are wonderful connections to be made. I think while that's happening, again, you know, the importance is like looking at everything as a whole and saying, okay, well, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody. And am I ready for this? I mean, what am I, you know, it's really just trying to put a little bit more thought into it instead of just trying to meet the immediate needs, whatever those might be, of feeling a certain way. And it's but it's fun, and once I've been doing so many different things I've never done before, and
There you go. Right, there's so much work that you needed to do on yourself, right? And I know that women, sorry for interrupting, women, you know, we're so used to this, okay, because, you know, we're emotionally driven and men are more physically driven, and this is science. So a woman will think right away, well, okay, why do I keep attracting the same kind of men? I think the smart women need to step back. I'm not going to say just smart women. I'd say the ones who are really, in tune with themselves and their souls. No, they have to take a few steps back. If the men that are coming into their lives don't seem to be matching their energy, time out, right? And we talked about this time out thing before, because those people are not, the opposite sex or gender are not coming at you unless you're really so ready and open.
I would agree.
And I think the feelings, could you discuss for just like a few minutes, you know, the feelings? I can only speak for myself. All of a sudden, after like 20 years of marriage and being with that person 6 years before I married, I was, oh my God, there was a lot of fear. Fear is false events appearing, you know, real. There really was nothing to be fearful of. But I thought to myself, oh my God, how am I going to do this?
Right.
Not so difficult. Pretty easy, right? I mean, but it's where we're at in our minds.
Yeah, well, it is easy, but it's also like doing something you've never done before, unless it's like you're venturing out. And I mean, it's just like allowing someone else into the space.
Vulnerability.
It's like, you know, you're just like totally guarded. I mean, at least for me, it's just like completely guarded. I'm not ready. And all these thoughts of, I'm not ready for anything serious. I just want to be open and have a good time. And, you know, I don't want the commitment. And again, that's not just a guy thing. It's a person thing. It depends on where you are and what you've been through.
I was just going to mention that. Talk a little bit more about that. Everyone always, you hear women saying, oh my God, he's such a commitment phobe. You know, there's a lot of women out there who have been through a lot in their lives now, and they're into the rent-a-man kind of a thing. You know, we can get together, but I can go home and have my own space and my own time. And I've spoken to a lot of men who are coming to me saying, you know what, I want a relationship. And there's a lot of women out there that don't even want it, and I'm devastated. Because, you know, they still have some traditional values. You know, have you kept those? Yeah, I don't think you had traditional values from the very beginning, right? But you did end up married.
Right now, of course.
A lot of no's
do.
And yeses. What's going on inside your head?
Okay, right. So no, I didn't have the traditional values. I really was, completely and totally, I didn't want to have anything to do with commitment when I was, I was younger. And then,
any thoughts about where that came from, or you've never even thought about that?
Well, actually, I have thought about it. It has a lot to do with love. Love, quite frankly, can be, you know, if it's directed only in one specific place and it's not a more generic overall love for everything and everybody, if it's directed right at a person, that's an issue with me just based on my childhood and some of the things that happened even in early relationships.
Any way that you want to tap into that, even for some enlightenment of any of the male listeners that are out there that could use a little, you know, fine-tuning or whatever? Because, you know, like I said, as women, we do this all the time. We sit in our little circles, our huge big circles. Everyone's always making comments and judging us. So we've got a lot of stimulation out there for us, even in conversation or media, to be able to find some answers. You know,
I think it's very interesting what you're saying, because what I've found is that, you know, through in this time that I'm in right now of being out there, there are thoughts and feelings on both sides, from what I gather, but definitely with women, that they're not necessarily ready for commitment either. And now here's the easy part. Maybe I'm just attracting people that aren't ready too, because I'm not. I don't know. Right? But the point is, they're not.
But it could be both, yes.
They're not, right. Because I think what I just said is true. I pretty much came to that conclusion. Someone told me, and I believe them. But,
well, you know the old expression about mirroring ourselves, and I think it's a beautiful way of, and like, Gwen, I'm so sorry for interrupting. I don't want to lose my chain of thought as I get older. So I think it's just so essential, and it's so beneficial, because what happens when we see let's say, the opposite sex as our mirror instead of standing in judgment, looking at that other person, let's say for you as a man, and thinking, oh, my God, this woman, all she wants to do is get married. You know, there's not a good example, but there could be so much judgment that comes into mind. And then if you're judging that other person, you know, there again, there's that mirror. Just flip it back and judge and look at yourself. So if we're more loving and accepting of ourselves, so nice to be able to, let's say like you, go to an event or walk into a bar and meet someone and kind of slowly walk the path and get it and have this click and go, oh, my God, after speaking to the woman, asking her a few questions, you get a little bit of a picture of where they're at. And then, you know, you kind of think from the neck up, not down. And it takes
right.
a second,
well,
right, to be able to identify and go, okay, if that's where she is, you know, maybe this woman and I could just be friends or no. But you can
right.
kind
well,
of, right, yeah.
Yeah, the thinking part, I think, yeah. is absent in many cases. And I mean, I don't mean that as a demeaning statement to anybody, but I know
both
that
men
that we,
and women, you're saying, for everyone.
Both men and women, but, I mean, I hate to even say this, but definitely for men, because it's just like, you know, there's this physical thing, and that physical desire in some cases is not pointed in the right direction. Maybe it's just,
right.
you know, not controlled. I don't know. The fact of the matter is that a lot of women feel the same way men do, meaning they feel after they've been through enough things in their life that they're looking for the perfect mate.
Right.
And quite frankly, you know, that person is not necessarily standing right in front of them at that moment, and they're, you know, they're not in such a hurry. I think a lot of thought has to be put into everything. It doesn't have to be overthought. There's a certain sense of letting everything happen organically. At
okay.
the same time, there's also a certain sense of knowing, okay, this is happening, but how do I feel about that? Meaning, you know, what does it mean? What could it mean in a year or two? Or what? And am I ready? Am I not ready?
And all these questions and things are so important, right? But I find that, you know, the one thing that I learned when I first started going out and dating, and I think it's important to share for everyone that's out there, both men and women, is that, who, like I said before, whomever we are meeting, wherever we're at on that particular day and month, and right, we're all individuals and we're constantly evolving. So from day to day with our life experiences, we are growing, maturing, and changing. If
right.
today or 6 months ago I was feeling one way, I've done the work in the past 6 months, I'm in another place now.
Yeah.
Chances are that the men that I might have met 6 months ago, maybe the same, you know, the men that I might be meeting now, hopefully, are a little more evolved or different as I've come into work, done that work, and come into my own. There was something interesting that I actually saw that was a posting of yours that I wanted to kind of tap into and share with the listeners, because I thought it was just amazing, and kind of ask you, you know, where it all came from and where it all evolved. You had posted about the smallest list of things that you don't learn in school, that you're not taught in school. And quote-unquote, pretty much of what you wrote, they don't teach you how to walk away from someone that you don't love anymore. They don't teach you how to know what's going on in someone else's mind. What have you taught yourself and learned? Primarily, once again, if I asked you, pick two things, let's say, pinpoint two things on love and relationships with women, of course.
Oh, well, the biggest thing that I've learned is how to listen.
Oh, great. I love that.
Quite frankly, if you're not listening to what the other person's saying, you're not even going to get a clue of where their head's at. And that's also the downfall of most relationships, in my opinion.
Okay.
There was so listening is big, and
okay.
there was, as a matter of fact, there was a clinical psychologist that I just had listened to. She's the relation therapy expert, but she was talking about being present and conscious for the other person,
mm-hmm.
and that there's a bridge, and if you really want to be present, you cross the bridge and you don't take anything with you.
Mm-hmm.
You literally don't take anything. If anything, it's a transparent plastic bag, right, with just a visa and a passport in it, and that's it. And then when you
that's
get
great.
To the other side,
uh-huh.
you're simply there for the person. Because if you're not, I mean, everybody has their own personal agenda, but what I've learned is that you find out what's going on in someone's head, is you really have to put yourself, okay, well, how? What, where's the root of that? Okay, she's saying this, but what does she mean? In other words, there's a reason for that. You know, it's not, so it's not, it can't be all surface stuff, you know? And then the other thing is realizing that, you know, putting yourself in, understanding women to the extent that you understand. Women need security. Right. Women need to be, they need to feel, you know, comfortable.
Right.
And that can be, that whole comfortable factor can be mistaken, and the security factor can be mistaken for a lot of things, whether it be materialism or whatever the case. You have to understand the whole picture. And it's not just, not just what's on the surface. There's a lot of things going on. Everybody needs certain things.
Right.
Men and women, right?
Well, it could take a lot, for sure, but it could take a lot of pressure off men, because women have always, men have always felt historically that when women start to emote, as we all go crazy, that we're expecting our mate or whomever it is, that male, to be able to fix everything. And no, not really. We just want them to hear us and pay attention to us. Like you said, not everything needs to be fixed. So there really are so many shifts and changes in the relationship and the dynamics between men and women and love. I'd like to tap in, because I told you time goes by really so fast. We have like 5 minutes left in the show, probably even four. When you think about love now and relationships with women and love, I'm sure that on different levels, you know, you've got your mother, you've got your daughter, you know, you can love a female friend, being in love, finding, you know, that person, that other person, or that particular person that you think, or mate that you maybe want to spend the rest of your life with. When you think about love, how do you kind of define it? Can you, in a few words, in your own mind? What does it mean to you? It's a personal kind of a thing. It's just a question.
Literally a connection on the spirit level.
Okay, love that. All right, we're going to let that one go, because I wanted to ask you also. I told you, I knew this was going to happen. We said yesterday you and I could talk for hours. We've done that before. In defining three characteristics of your personality and your character as you are now, if a woman was to describe you, obviously you could pick three great ones. I mean, why wouldn't you? But how do you see yourself now as opposed to then? As you've evolved?
I would say open.
Okay, great.
Extremely honest, even to a fault.
Great.
And
no such thing.
Well,
for any woman that can't handle it, there's another mate out there in their mirror. So,
right, and you know, understanding where my passion lies, and therefore being, you know, being happy and centered, I guess, grounded.
That's amazing. All right, so one or two last really quick questions. We're going to try and just quick them up. When I originally started this series, and I was thinking about legacy and what we leave behind, and a lot of things we tapped into in our conversation are really about male maturity, responsibility, accountability, things, you know, that come with time and life and male grace, for lack of whatever else you'd like to call it. If you could come up with, I'll ask you two words, because you've already gotten three from you, words that would, I guess, also define or describe you in your legacy. Let's say you have a daughter, of what you would leave behind in what you hope to teach her now as she has two parents separate who are no longer together. And, of course, you are the pillar, right, of the relationship. Let's say a male relationship that she may have in her future life. And now I see we have like 1 minute left. So in 30 seconds, if you could pick two keywords that
Okay, we don't have that much time. I can't do it in words, but it would all simply be find your passion and what you're truly passionate about in your life so that you can be happy and live it and do it.
Not going to believe this. In the 20 seconds we have left, I can't even say, like, no, I would say, would you change anything? Would you do anything different? And then I need to thank you, and time
absolutely
will be up.
Not. Absolutely not.
I wish you and I had an hour and a half. You and I could probably do a whole series together because you're a spiritual. I want to thank you so much.
Thanks.
I want men
Mark
out there. My pleasure to invite you on and have you. And men that are out there, any male listeners that are out there, I think one thing, David, you would agree with is own all your feelings, and there is really no shame or judgment. Just
absolutely.
Be open.
Yeah. Agreed.
Thank you so much for
thank you,
joining.
Linda.
Thank you. I would like to just thank all the listeners. You know, keep once again, bear and keep in mind that in the series that I started on the legacy, my impetus was men coming to a point now in 2012, understanding and starting to tap into their purpose and their power. Owning who they are and their roles and their relationships, and knowing that there is love that can be had on so many different levels, on a friendship level, on a social level, on a romantic level, on a parental level, on a sibling level, that there's nothing better in this world than having that feeling of love. Once you have it for yourself, it really, and that's where the work needs to and the time needs to be done, is that, as David said, you get out there and you can attract those like people and women, obviously of the opposite sex, who are in the same place that you are. And then you've got it made, because really, when likes attract and you're on the same path, there is potential. When two people have totally different expectations and different conceptions of love, then you're headed for a rocky ride. So I want to thank all the listeners that have been here today. Once again, I'm so sorry that this show is so short. I look forward to having you all join me again next week, next Wednesday, on show number 3 of our series of 8. And I'd like to wish you all a great week, and I send you all my love.